net at 7. Please clear.
Hey, good evening. Welcome everyone to the 529 Emergency Preparedness Net, courtesy of the WA7ABU 529 repeater. This is Kilo Golf 7 Golf Delta Bravo. My name's Brett, and I'm net control for today, Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021.
Welcome to the WA7ABU repeater.
Hey, you can find this net each Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. local time on 145.29 MHz. This is a designated emergency frequency, so we'll break if any real emergency occurs. Our alternate frequency is 145.19 with a tone of 100. We appreciate those who stand by and allow us to have a clear frequency for the next hour as we discuss emergency preparedness and COVID-19 news. All amateur operators are welcome to participate in the discussions during the net. Let's see, when you check in, please identify with your call sign slowly and phonetically, and also give me your name and location, please. I want to see if anybody out there is on the Echolink system. I'd like to check in first. Echolink users for the prep net, come now.
Good evening, Brett. This is Whiskey 7, Mike Tango, Lima, Craig, and Eugene on Echo Link.
There you go. Good evening, Craig. Whiskey 7, Mike Tango, Lima. Glad I waited there. Almost keyed up all over you. Anybody else on Echo Link? Like to check in.
Good evening, Ned. This is Kilo Echo 7 Alpha Sierra Mike, and it's Doug in Southeast Salem, otherwise known as Charlie Nancy 84 India Victor.
Okay, and there's Doug, Kilo Echo 7 Alpha Sierra Mike. Craig there on Echo Link Whiskey 7 Mike Tango Lima. Well, I guess we have moved on to the general check-ins. So I'll pause a little later and see if anyone else is on Echolink. But let's keep going on the general check-ins for the PrepNet.
Good evening. This is Whiskey 7, Sierra Hotel Mike, Steve in Albany.
Hello, Steve. That's Whiskey 7, Sierra Hotel Mike from Albany. Thank you for checking in. Anybody else?
Well, good evening, Brett, and the rest of the net. Kilo 1. Victor, India, November. K1VIN, mobiling around here in Salem.
Good evening. Juliet, Lima, Oscar, Jeff, and Albany.
Kilo, Kilo 7, Alpha Romeo, Tango, Art, and Canby.
Okay, let's pause there and resolve our little double. That was Art, Kilo, Kilo 7, Alpha Romeo, Tango. And Jeff, I got the last part of his call sign there. Kilo, Alpha 7, Juliet, Lima, Oscar. And Kevin had it free and clear there. K1, Victor, India, November. Kilo 1, Victor, India, November. And there was someone else in there, I think.
Hey, this is KK7ART. I think the someone else was me.
Okay, Art, well, we got you there. Kilo, Kilo 7, Alpha Romeo Tango. You know, good signal. Everybody had good signal. We just did it at the same time. And fortunately, got some partials. And, yeah, I was going to guess it might have been you. But very good. Thank you for checking in. That's 7 of us. Need more. Who else is out there?
KE7 Victor, Whiskey X-Ray Everett.
Well, good evening, Everett. Kilo Echo 7, Victor, Whiskey X-Ray. Got you checked in. From Are you still in South Salem there, Everett?
Yep, I own the place. I can't move away that quick.
That's okay. You don't need to move. Just checking. Good to hear from you. All right. Anybody else? I know there was actually a kind of meeting of the CTR club tonight way out in Kaiser, so there are probably some people hanging out there. I know there's also a Mid-Valley Net that's at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. I think that's right. No, it's not Tuesdays. It's Mondays and Thursdays. Well, maybe, I don't know. There might be another net. But in that case, we'll take some more check-ins.
Kilo Echo 7, Oscar Lima Uniform, Paul E.C. Marion County, transmitting from Northeast Salem Ward Drive, and we're at the neighborhood night out, national night out event. Come give us a call.
Okay, very good. Yes, that is Paul, Kilo Echo 7, Oscar Lima Uniform. And yes, and that is another event tonight. In fact, that was part of why I drove to Kaiser earlier. Tonight is, I guess that's a good thing to lead with, the National Neighborhood Night Out, which is not tied to any particular organization. And you could be, in your neighborhood watch. You could be in Surge. You could be, a church group. You could be... just people that want to meet your neighbors. There's the Map Your Neighborhood program, lots of different programs, and including ARIES and Oxcom. But, this is the night you're actually supposed to go out and say hello to your neighbors, see who might be, checking on you if there's in the event of an emergency. That's kind of the idea. Good thing. Outdoor events are fine. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight here. Was there anybody else that wanted to check in or any other reports from Neighborhood Night Out?
This is Whiskey 3, Romeo Alpha November. I have nothing to report. I'll be in and out on the evening's broadcast and the net. Again, this is Whiskey 3, Romeo Alpha November, Richard in South Salem.
Okay, well, thank you, Richard, for checking in. Whiskey 3, Romeo Alpha November. Now we're actually up to 10 people here. Yep, very good. Well, you can be in and out. I do want you to hear the main message, and I think I'm preaching to the choir here, but we did have some pretty significant announcements and data that appeared in the news between last week and this week. And I wanted to, I guess since you're going to leave, I want to make sure that people hear that, especially if they have to go somewhere. Okay, so let me start with, I guess, our bad news COVID report. Okay, so last week I will retract something I said. I misspoke. I said that if you were sick with COVID-19, that probably would not produce very much virus, and you wouldn't be very contagious. Well, there is data that suggests otherwise. That is not true, okay? Now, the two things that happened last week was that there was a release of information from the CDC saying that they have actually been monitoring some breakthrough cases in Providence, Massachusetts. Now, Massachusetts, let me get a drip. Massachusetts has one of the highest vaccine rates in the country. I can look it up for you, but they got their 70% vaccine rate. And, they were doing the 4th of July celebration. And they had a big outbreak, okay, and a cluster, we call it. And because they actually also have a good health department that goes after cases and tries to track down who's contacted who and what, they actually found out that there were a large number of people with what they call breakthrough cases. They were all vaccinated, and yet they tested positive for COVID, okay? Now, they probably wouldn't have tested positive for COVID had they not been, going out and tracking people down and testing them, because they found some cases, but the cases they found were people who were vaccinated. Now, okay, so that is surprising news for everyone, because we think Well, the chances of catching COVID and testing positive. Okay, well, there are two different things, okay? The chances of getting COVID and showing symptoms are one value. The chances of testing positive once you have COVID are very high because our tests are really, really good. Okay, so what about symptoms? Okay, well, that's the other thing. So if you test people that don't necessarily have symptoms who might have been exposed to COVID, you find people. And that's what you're seeing in the Olympics. So a couple things happened. The Olympics had a bunch of people there, all very healthy, not showing any symptoms, and all of a sudden they have to withdraw from their event because they test positive. Okay, then we have this big event in Providence suggesting, you know, hundreds of people who actually were vaccinated ended up testing positive. Okay? Okay, so that was the big piece of data that prompted, like, oh, what about this stuff, okay? Now, let's talk about why we might not have known that before. Well, the reason why is that the CDC has decided that they would really only wanted to track cases that were breakthrough cases who were sick enough to go to the hospital. So it's always been, and this is the case in Oregon too, that if you go to the hospital and you present with any kind of respiratory symptoms, and, you know, they will test you for COVID these days. And when they do that, then they find you, okay? Now, then they do all the statistics and figure out what, you know, they'll ask you how old you are and, you know, whether you've been vaccinated and whether you've been exposed. And hopefully they might even do a little bit of tracking and let you know, let people who are around you know that they were exposed, okay? So anyway, nothing really happens in terms of breakthrough reporting unless you're sick enough to end up at the hospital. That's another key piece of information to put in your situational awareness, your report. Okay, now third piece of information, as you know, there really aren't any mask mandates in place for most places, and that everyone has been very, very reluctant to force you to wear a mask. Okay, now, however, remember, nothing has changed about the fact that this is an airborne virus, and if you go indoors and share the air with other people, whether they, you know, sounds like if they've got COVID, you're going to breathe in the COVID. Another piece of information that came out today, and this is the other one that's, or not today, but this last week, was that this new Delta variant is a kind of a very disturbingly effective virus in terms of transmission. It is extremely effective at transmission, very contagious, in other words. So even if you don't really show much symptoms, you can still pass on a lot of virus, and it's extraordinarily contagious. How contagious? Well, let me tell you. So, we used to talk about the R value, okay? There's something called R naught, all right? And now this is an epidemiology thing, and I don't want to bog you down in the details. But let's just say that overall, when you start looking at a population of people, and you introduce an infection into the population of people, and you look at that population over time and see how many people get it, you know, you can come up with a value, which they call the R value, which is the spreading factor. How much does that virus spread? Okay, now for regular COVID, that's between 1 and 2 for COVID-19, meaning that in practical terms, if a person with COVID wanders around, you know, around for a while, they're probably going to infect one or two people before, you know, they get sick enough to leave or, you know. Anyway, that's the deal. So you think about it, if a person infects one other person, well, it probably doesn't spread very quickly. If you infect two other people and each person spreads it to two other people, it, you know, it starts going exponential, right? The numbers start doubling. Okay? All right, so here's the, you know, there was data that the CDC released as a report to their staff that shows that they think that Delta variant has between a 5 and 9 R value. So in practical terms, that means that if you encounter someone, a person that has a Delta, will spread it to 5 to 9 people. So now you've got another piece of information. If you start looking at the big picture, what does that tell you about these latest trends in terms of spread of COVID around the world and around the United States? Have you noticed how fast it's going up? You'll start hearing news reports. Remember, what's the value I told you to keep an eye on? Hospitalizations, right? Well, let's see. Let's look at what it was last time I talked to you, last week in Oregon here. You can always look at your friendly projects.oregonlive.com coronavirus map, and what you'll find out is, let's see, when did I talk to you last? The 26th or so. We don't want to look at daily new cases. That's kind of based on sampling and stuff. But hospitalization, you're going to end up in the hospital, you're going to end up in the hospital. There's not much you can do about it. You know, you're there. All right, so on July 26th to 29th, let's see. All right, well, anyway, that week, we had 274 hospital, 86 on in the ICU, 37 on ventilators. Today, we have 379 people in the hospital and 119 people in the ICU and 45 people on ventilators, okay? That number is higher than it was in May when we had the last peak, okay? Now, I hope it doesn't go up any faster than that, but, okay, December 8th was 553. But it is going up disturbingly quickly, all right? And there's really only one answer for it. That is Delta. Questions or comments at this point? Because I got one more really key piece of information to tell you guys about it. Kilo Golf 7 Golf Delta Bravo. Here's the other piece of information. If you start reading about the symptoms of Delta, what you're going to find is a different looking set of symptoms than we had last year at this time. Remember, it's only been a year. You know, July was when they started the first clinical trials for our vaccines of last year. And we did have, you know, this big peak. Started to go down, but so Delta here. So the thing is, we thought, oh, well, it's all going to get better because we're all going to be outdoors and it'll be fine. Now, some people are complaining, like the ones in hot Florida, that no, the summertime is when everybody goes indoors and goes into their conditioning places. So that's got to be a contributing factor, people going indoors in those areas, because turns out that, yeah, you start looking around the country, and you say, wow, the numbers are going up in those places where it's real hot. And another thing you notice is that, so what about the symptoms? I mean, so we just said that, you know, this vaccine works pretty darn good. You probably won't get sick, and if you do, you may not have very many symptoms. Well, it turns out that actually some people even aren't vaccinated are showing us symptoms that look a lot more like a summer cold. Okay, so now we're not looking for somebody who has got this deep cough and high fever showing up at a checkpoint where we can take their temperature and stuff like that. You're looking at someone who probably just might have a sniffle or a little bit of congestion. Okay, that might be all they have, and yet they're contagious. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, in the summertime, and when there's smoke and there's dust, and you go outside and you work in the yard and all that kind of stuff, you know, you might just feel fine, especially if you're vaccinated, you know. But who knows? The only way you know is if you get tested. And nobody really is going to go get tested, probably, if, you know, unless you think that you've been exposed to the virus. So, and I can talk to you a little bit about that. You know, the home test kits or the rapid kits and things like that, you know, they only catch it if it's positive, okay? If you're positive, you're positive. That's great, okay? But there's a lot of false negatives, up to 50% false negatives. So getting a home test kit that you collect some saliva or whatever, if you've got it, it'll pick it out. But if you don't, just because you're negative doesn't mean necessarily that you're negative. It has false negatives, in other words. So, anyway, it doesn't have false positives. Does that make sense? All right. So there's your new situation, okay? Now, nothing's changed, really, in the world in terms of the air. Okay, we didn't do a lot. I don't think anybody really did anything about the air conditioning systems and buildings. I don't know if they did any improvements on that. And restaurants did go to outdoor dining. That's a good idea. Go outside and do stuff. Don't go inside because it still concentrates. And what we just learned is that the person that's infected is producing a much higher virus load. They say 1,000 times the virus is produced. And that might be because it's being produced in the nose, as opposed to deep in the back of the nasopharynx. But the point is that they're producing 1,000 times more virus, and it is seemingly much more effective at transmitting, going to 5 to 8 people instead of just 1 to 2 people. And that's making the cases go up really, really rapidly all over the place, especially when people, you know, go indoors and they drop the mask. This is Kilo Golf 7, Golf Delta Bravo. So anyway, so I apologize for telling you that if you were vaccinated, you couldn't pass the virus on, but that apparently is the case. Okay, so I guess the only thing I can tell you is that if you have been exposed to someone and they tell you, you know, hey, you were exposed, and you say, well, I've been vaccinated, well, get checked anyway, okay, if you have symptoms. So, and it would be a good idea to not go places with symptoms. If you develop this summer cold, you know, don't take that time to go visit, you know, your elderly in-laws or whatever, even if they've been vaccinated, because the people that we're seeing that are having trouble right now are still the oldest people. You know, there are people who are vaccinated that don't have a great immune response, still could end up in the hospital. So, anyway, don't spread it around. But you're not really necessarily going to feel bad. Let's just point it that way, okay? And last thing is for anyone who has not thought it was, you know, the time to wait for everyone else to get the vaccine and you just kind of hang out and wait, probably not a good idea, okay? Look, this stuff is much, much worse than any vaccine side effect we've ever had, and the chance of you getting it are just really, really high. Now, of course, it's, you know, geographical. Yeah, you go to a, you know, cowboy bar in Texas right now and, you know, hang out and hoot and holler and stay there all evening and without being vaccinated. We can think of all kinds of scenarios where you might, you know, say, well, how would it be best to catch it? That'd be a good one. Probably other ones you can think about, but you know, we don't really want to do that. Let's not test it, you know. That was pretty disturbing news to find a large group of people who have the breakthrough cases, okay, and being identified. Now, does that mean everyone's going to get it? No, it's still a small percentage of the total number of people who are vaccinated. Okay, this is Kilo Golf 7, Golf Delta Bravo. All right, so I'm going to stop here now. We'll take more check-ins and get some comments from people. You probably are confused. I mean, I was a little confused. Why did, you know, but it kind of makes sense in hindsight. Why did you think the CDC all of a sudden started talking about mask mandates and mandating vaccines and things like that? Well, if you have this information and you're in charge, what do you do? So anyway, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. All of you guys have been vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. But, you know, sure was a surprise to me to find out that I could get a mild infection and still spread it, still be really contagious. So, you know, in that mind, I've not dropped my mask. I still wear the mask when I go indoors. You know, I went to meet some people outdoors tonight, and I did not wear a mask, because outdoors is, you know, much, much, much less risky. The chance of you breathing somebody else's air outdoors on a nice evening, you know, you're not sitting right next to them, you're trying still not to, you know, sharing their airspace, you're really pretty good, okay? but I would suggest that just don't hang out indoors without a mask if you, you know, can possibly avoid it. So, now, will mask, do you need a better mask than we did before? Okay, that's the other question is that we have these, you can get medical masks now. Medical masks do a better job at preventing you from breathing it in. If they're sealed tightly and you wear them, they're not really as comfortable to wear as the, you know, the surgical masks. But, you know, wear the mask that, you know, the cloth masks probably aren't as effective now because that's why they're saying don't use the cloth mask because single layer of fabric isn't enough to prevent the spread of 1,000 times more virus particles. Anyway, you really remember the masks are helping with the spread problem. Okay, so if you got to hang out indoors for a long time, you know, you are going to be breathing out and putting stuff into the air. And, hey, you might even not even seem sick. So that's the problem. And it can be contagious on day two. That's another little bit of data that came out. So lots of little bits of data, all of which are not so good to hear. All right, so this is Kilo Golf 7, Golf Delta Bravo. Now we can take some more check-ins. Anybody else have any questions? I mean, that's a lot of stuff, and I'll do my best to answer it. I don't have all the numbers at my fingertips, but this is the gist. This is the situation report. You know, the war has changed. The strategy, your strategy may or may not change, but it isn't time to say we won the war. People say we beat it. That's not the time to say we beat it.
Okay, 6STX checking in, and I'd like to ask a question.
KK7ART with a question as well.
Okay, we have Dan checked in, Kilo 6, Sierra Tango X-ray. He's got the first question, and Art, hi, we'll put you on for the second question. Go ahead, Dan.
If you are somewhat in doubt that you may or may not be have gotten it some wild way or another, do we have, like, places? You know, they have open places where you can just go down and get a vaccine now, and, you know, you can just walk in and say, I want to get vaccinated. Do we have places where you can just say, walk in and say, I want to get tested?
Yeah, apparently we do. And, let's see, I'm trying to sew up the best thing. Might be calling 211 would be a place that might tell you just easily over the phone where your nearest place is. But those pharmacies where people were getting shots also do the testing. So I guess I would call my nearest pharmacy that and say, hey, do you do, you know, the testing? Now, if you are really showing symptoms, you know, I'd probably go ahead and try to get the real test, the PCR test, right? The unpleasant one where they stick the cubes up your nose, but you will know for sure, okay? You could take a couple of rapid tests. That would be, of course, look much easier on you, but you wouldn't know necessarily. Rapid tests work if you like test every day. That's what they're doing like at the Olympics. They're doing probably rapid tests every day, and then they catch people, right? And it's, you know, it's not your fault. You know, first of all, don't blame people. It's 1,000 times more, you know, transmissible. It's just there. It's in the air, okay? You may not have a symptom, especially if you're vaccinated. But if you do have a symptom, that's when I would probably say, geez, you know, I was at that, you know, that big family reunion or at this, you know, I sat in the, you know, at the bar for hours, which, of course, nobody did here. I know that. But just theoretically, you know, talking to these people, and they were real interesting and all that, and they were from out of town and all that stuff, you know. And now today I've got this this cold, you know, I think it's a cold. Well, I'd go get tested for that kind of thing. So, yes, your basic pharmacies can do it. I don't know that probably I know that's just like a Salem Clinic, have like the little outdoor tent things. You can go there. Those are the places that will test you. Anybody else have any other ideas for them that they know specifically or have gone to get a test?
I've seen that drive-in that they have down at, I think it's 2020 Capitol Street, and I wasn't really sure whether you had to have an appointment or whether you can just drive up in your car because I think they, you don't even have to get out of your car at that spot to get tested, but is that a spot where you can just, get in line, or do you have to have an okay from somebody?
I think you can just drive up. You know, they really want to know. I think, you know, the one, if you're, obviously if you're a patient there, they and you came in and you said, hey, you know, I'm having some symptoms. You would need an appointment for that. They probably really wouldn't let you in the building until they let you do that. And then they do something, if you're feeling really bad, of course, then they would see you. But, yeah, they're going to test you first. So that would be a place. And I guess if you wanted to call and find out, that's what I was seeing if anybody had done this. But you're all being so good now. I know that, you know, nobody's had to do this. But, yeah, I don't think that right now there are places you can get the vaccine, too, without an appointment. You just go out and get it. So, you know, but the testing part is fairly straightforward. But I would give them a call. I think that would be, Salem Clinic would be one that would have it. And does anybody else have to know of a testing clinic that drop-ins?
I guess the other question I have is these tests that they have at the pharmacy, are these the ones that have the possibly false negatives, or are they pretty much all accurate?
Well, that's what I would, they probably have both, okay? And they might even ask you, which one do you want, you know? But the question is, how much do you want to know, you know? Because, yes, the rapid antigen tests have false positives. Sorry, false negatives, not false positives. Positives are positives, but false negatives, yes, they can miss it. Okay, and it depends on the day, you know, after your exposure, and it depends on, you know, how much sample they collect and whether they're lucky in terms of how much is in your saliva or whatever, okay? But if you really want to know, and you're going to be around people who either are unvaccinated or then you should get the one that's the true PCR test one. That's the cotton swab in the nose one. So that is the gold standard. That is the most accurate, and you won't get an immediate response probably as far as the result on it. I'm not sure what the lead time is on it these days. It's faster than before. They're just not doing as much testing. They really only test people in Oregon if you have symptoms. So we don't do this surveillance testing. What you see at the Olympics is surveillance testing. They're trying really, really hard to make sure. So they're just testing people all the time. And that the rapid antigen test is good for that purpose. You just keep giving one every day. Okay, so let's see. Art, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I read through the CDC talking points last night and looked at some of the data behind their conclusions. And one thing that I may have missed or just didn't notice, you know, a lot of people have had COVID already and recovered from it, and I didn't see any data regarding whether or not those people were getting the same kind of infections as the people that have been vaccinated or anything really about that. Did you see anything like that? Did I just miss it, or was that data lacking in what was published, KK7ART?
Yeah, see, this is this, I think it's lacking. They don't have it yet, or they didn't really look, okay? And I told you that part of it was a decision. There are a couple of little decisions that I didn't really quite agree with. You know, you really want to know what's going on. You do really actually have to do surveillance testing, but, you know, for some reason we're against that idea. I don't know why. But in the old, you know, pandemic playbooks, the idea is that you try to figure out where the outbreaks are, and you test people, and try to find out what their contacts are, and you test them, and you quickly get people to isolate themselves if they're sick and quarantine themselves before they come into places. That's just the, you know, old school thing that's been done for, you know, I don't know, since the plague days, you know, and it actually is pretty effective. Yeah, if you're sick, don't come in our town, you know, hang out in the little, you know, you know, on your own and see if you get if you're okay, right? And that's quarantine, okay? Isolation is when you find out, oh, yeah, I am sick. I don't know how sick I'll get, but I'll just kind of hang out on my own in my house and, you know, and wait for the, 10 days and see what happens, okay? And I should get better, right? So now, if you're not testing people that have symptoms, you know, or you don't get tested, you wouldn't necessarily know, okay? So now you can say, well, okay, I had test COVID, you know, a person might even say, gee, you know, I had COVID before. This has got to be a summer cold. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to go get tested for it. You know, we don't know what's in someone's mind. But I'm just telling you that the symptoms may not be the same. And you probably have some partial immunity, but you're not, it's not like being vaccinated, okay? So far, and we haven't had the Delta around long enough to see if you have Delta, how long your immunity lasts. But in all cases, they've always found that, like, if you get the illness, you know, it still is a good idea to have a vaccine afterwards because it boosts your immunity and you get in a very good way afterward. Okay? But anyway, we don't know, Art, what's happening with it, you know. So they do have found people that have had previous, you know, alpha COVID who are now getting Delta. Those numbers are just, again, kind of coming back. We're sort of like, unless they end up in the hospital, they don't end up on somebody's statistics. That really is the problem. We've got a lot of people that might have just gotten the cold-like symptoms again, okay? And they would never get tested, probably. So, anyway, so the thing that I can probably, I was talking to Dr. Sund about this, and she said that maybe next week if you guys still have medical questions about this, I think what's changed here is that we just have a different attitude toward the Delta virus. Think about it like, okay, this is the kind of a new virus. It's really a lot more contagious. It's related to COVID. And maybe another simplistic way to think about it is if I'm vaccinated and I catch it, I'm going to get a cold. Okay? And probably won't, you know, and definitely it's going to help. It probably, you know, hugely percent you'll never go to the hospital or get, you know, or die from it. Okay? So our vaccines turn it into a cold, okay? But now if it's turned into a cold, I think you might have asked me this last week, what's going to happen over time, okay? When we get enough people vaccinated and enough people who have, you know, natural immunity to this thing, then yes, this COVID will be probably like a cold because it doesn't look like it's going away. You know, it's still very transmissible. And like I said, it's going to go really quickly, and it might go in and go out quickly. We don't know what that's going to happen, but it's sort of spiking in a lot of places. So it is behaving like a new virus, and symptoms are not, it can still get you really bad if you're not vaccinated. I mean, you know, young people are in, you know, hospitals and ventilators and things like that. It does seem to be affecting the people who are not vaccinated a lot more. They're the ones in the hospital now. And, you know, it may not be as, you know, necessarily as fatal among the younger people, but they're requiring ICU visits and things like that. And we don't know what's going to happen. There's something called long COVID. We're seeing people who have recovered from the hospital, and they have persistent symptoms for months, which are not good. So, yeah, you do not want to get this stuff if you can avoid it. So get the vaccine. When they tell you to get a booster, if that comes up in the fall or something, get the booster too. KG7GV. This is the emergency prep net on the 529. Let's pause here, see if anybody else wants to check in. I'm sorry I had to talk about this, but it was kind of dramatic news. And looking at the numbers, yeah, I told you that hospitalization rate is up a lot. It's as high as it was in May, or actually a little bit higher. So that means it's happening, okay, around you. So it's not that it's Delta's growing in all 50 states, okay, and it's worse in some places than others, but it's not like it's not here. And you know what? Marion County is not great on their vaccine rate. asking you. We just can't round everybody up and say, oh, yeah, we're good, 70%. No, it's not 70% in Marion County, okay? 70%, the goal there is two doses of vaccine. You have the double dose vaccine for 70% of the people, okay? Not 70% of those who are eligible or whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, that would be what we want. So we're fudging otherwise a little bit. So I'm not ready to break down and call it one, okay? But we're going to give more vaccine to the rest of the world. That'll help. Apparently giving a couple hundred million doses of vaccine, 180 million doses away to other countries. Maybe they'll cut down on the spread there, save lives. Who else is out there? KG7, GGB.
Kilo 5, Charlie, Papa Charlie, Mike and Hat. See you, Dolly.
Hi, Brett. This is Mary, Whiskey 7, Foxtrot, India, Foxtrot, and I had a question about the booster shot.
Okay, let's check in Mike, Kilo 5, Charlie, Papa Charlie, and Mary, Whiskey 7, Foxtrot, India, Foxtrot. Yeah, go ahead with your question on the booster shot, and I'll give it a shot. Go ahead.
Well, I had heard that one of the vaccine companies was working on a booster shot, and I didn't know if you had heard any more about it or if any of the other companies were too. We had our shot early in March, and we got both of them, but I just wondered about getting a booster shot.
Yeah, okay. So what I've read is that, yes, they are looking at booster shots. I think right now Israel is the, you know, works pretty strongly with Pfizer in putting together a lot of their data. We know a lot about the way that COVID is behaving in populations from the studies in Israel, where they pretty much are working in partnership. So Pfizer is prepared there, you know, to give booster shots to, you know, when needed. Now remember, they were one of the first countries to vaccinate a lot of people, and really quickly. And they're seeing, they're not saying everyone, but they're, I think in that country, I was reading last time, that they said that they wanted to give booster shots to people age 60 and up. But, you know, it hasn't been, you know, required or recommended yet at our level, whether that's the, that's needed. Now, you know, the thing is, let's, it's a little bit hard to say, okay, what your immune response will be. But let's just go back to the basic idea of vaccination, okay? If you're vaccinated or even if you're recovered from an illness, you know, you don't just make antibodies all the time. You make a surge of antibodies when you're vaccinated, and you get the booster shot, you make more. And then that thing called the titer, or the amount of antibodies in your body, goes down, and that's a natural process. Okay, that doesn't mean that you're losing your immunity, because it's like if we made, you know, antibodies for everything we've ever been vaccinated against, you know, we'd have sludge going through our veins. You know, we just don't need all these extra antibodies around. The idea of a vaccine is to prompt your or program your immune system so that when you encounter the real thing out in the world after the vaccine's, you know, programmed you mount a quick immune response to it, okay? That's normal. That's why, you know, if you get COVID, you will test positive for COVID. It's not going to make it not happen. It means you're going to quickly mount defenses, create antibodies as needed, fight it off, and then those antibodies will go away again. So it's a little bit hard to say, you know, well, how long is your immunity going to last when we only haven't even, you know, vaccinated people for, you know, 6 months, okay? It's just coming up on, you know, 7 months here from December. And, you know, so what we need to do is look a lot. This is where this surveillance testing and doing these and finding this information, how many people are, what are the breakthrough case levels, things like that. When we start seeing that number go up, then they can just... Sorry, time out there. Then they can decide whether, you know, you need a booster shot. But I wouldn't, you know, just keep in mind that, yes, they are working on it. They're working on approvals for booster shots. When they think we need it, I'm pretty sure that Pfizer and Moderna will be ready for that for us. I don't know if they've changed the, you know, the formula to account for the new variants yet, but that is something we could do. You know, they could say, okay, well, we're going to change the sequence. They just have to manufacture that kind, okay? And that's the question. You know, I don't know what the data is on that yet. Then we'd have to then compare the efficacy of the old shot versus the new shot.
Okay, thanks, Brett. I appreciate it.
Okay, now I don't, I haven't got an official, you know, thing from FDA as to why haven't they approved the vaccines yet, but I did hear the Scott Gottlieb guy, who used to be the FDA director, over the radio this week, and he said, well, here's the deal, you know, the FDA takes a long time for the manufacturing and packaging and quality control and storage and things kind of part of the vaccines. And he said that he thought was the reason why it was not approved yet. Because if you think about our really strict quality control, everything from package inserts, handling, packaging, all that stuff, all has to be approved, right? You can say, I'm going to sell it in this size bottle with this kind of, you know, formulation and this kind of labeling and you know, all this stuff is just probably, you know, it's like red tape for the companies. But, you know, you can't manufacture it and approve it until it's in a standard form that has this quality control associated with it. When it's emergency use authorization, then they can, you know, change things. Like, remember how they decided to change the amount of shots that were in the Pfizer vaccine when they found out they really had 6 shots instead of 5. Well, that wouldn't happen. Approve it until they figure out how many shots are in a bottle, guys. How much you put in there? Okay, so that's, again, sort of conjecture because they haven't really given us a reason, but that was the best reason I'd heard, okay? It's not because it's not safe or... Remember the effectiveness. Remember we talked earlier on about efficacy and effectiveness. Efficacy was the clinical trial with 30,000 people. Effectiveness is a lot of that stuff is coming out of the first group of healthcare professionals who were vaccinated. Okay? And what's happening to those people over time, they volunteered to do things like weekly testing and see what happens. Okay? And we're getting good information from those people. So, yeah, we're not doing surveillance testing on large populations of people, and that's why we're missing these things. We don't know really what happens to the average Joe who caught it earlier on, and you know now is exposed to a new type, and you know they have one dose versus two, and this and that. You know, that's coming. But what we can tell you is that of the people who had the full vaccines, that seems to be working pretty dang well, and we've given it to a whole bunch of people around the world. And there's been very, very few side effects so far. So that's good. And it seems like it really, really works. So the effectiveness data is really good on this stuff. So there you go. That's about all we know right now. Next week we might know some more. Just beware. Marion County, for example, is one of those rapidly growing places. And we have to really decide, what do we do next? What do we do if the hospital starts filling up again? You know, that's going to affect other healthcare. You know, hospitals seem to be filling up with other people who've put off health care or have other issues as well. So, yeah, we don't want to run out of health care resources. KG7, GDB. Okay, does anybody want to talk about anything else? Got about 10 minutes here. Let's see. A neighborhood night out. We've got exercises for CERT, and we had a CERT net. I wanted to actually do a little quick discussion of what happened on the monthly CERT net, and just to give you guys an idea about, you know, why we practice the radio, why we use our nets, okay? Now, I'm not criticizing, okay, but I will tell you that you can't not make the assumptions that if you do something one way that everyone is on board, okay? So the example was, you know, did anybody check in on Sunday? There's a once a month Salem CertNet, and it's on Sunday, the first Sunday of the month at 4:30. Did anyone on frequency here check in with that? And maybe they can tell us what happened with the net control. he was might be at the Salem thing. Okay, so again, we have people practice, you know, on the radio, and it's a good idea to practice on the radio. Now, I'll tell you something though that as kind of a long-time simplex and duplex repeater user, for getting talking to lots of people reliably, I much prefer to use a repeater. Now, there seems to be, and I'll tell you about another thing about this too, this sort of bias against, oh, well, we can't do that. We've got to use our simplex frequency to do our practice because, you know, never know when there might not be a repeater you can use, okay? All right, well, that, in my opinion, is a little bit false logic that there'll never be a repeater to use. And secondly, what happens if you only practice simplex? Do you know how to use repeaters? Is your radio programmed correctly? Okay, that's the issue that we saw on Sunday. So, just to recap, what happened is, again, this is Kilo Golf 7 Golf Delta Bravo. We, you know, on Sunday, we hear, you know, at 4:30, it starts right up on time, and that I read the email that announced this net. And it said there will be the you know, monthly cert, Salem cert net at 4:30 on 145.290. Basically, you know, it's not pretty pure quote, but close enough, okay? Paraphrasing a little bit there. It didn't say the 145.290 repeater. It just said 145.29. Okay, now, got to be a little bit, this is, again, why written messages and things like that are important. If you fill out some kind of form and you actually have a plan for an event, you actually write it down, and you, even those, and you put in parentheses 145.29 repeater, you know, no tone, and you might even put down the input and the output frequency. Some lists I've seen, you see 144.69 and 144.529. Okay, but since we all use the repeater all the time, we kind of take that for granted. Well, what happened is that we couldn't hear, you know, this net control when it came on at 145.29. And I think pretty sure, you know, Robert King could hear it. He says, "You're on simplex." So can anyone tell me if a net control operator who doesn't realize that they're not supposed to use simplex uses a repeater on simplex, what do they hear? Anyway, what happens when you use the repeater, like on 145.29? You just tune in 145.29. What happens? Yeah, Richard, you know, got you checked in. Whiskey Zero Echo Delta Foxtrot. This is kind of important because someone might give you a frequency someday and say, this is what frequency we're going to use, and you might not be familiar with that frequency or may not have used that one before. So will it work? What happens, Richard, when you try to talk simplex on the output of the repeater? Right, so as net controller, you get on there and you think, well, I'm hearing Richard just fine. He's coming in really loud and clear. I'll just talk louder, you know, or, you know, if you have the way of turning up the power, maybe try turning up the power, but, you know, then what happens? I mean, the thing is, it can work, okay? All right, so here's the deal. If a repeater goes down, it doesn't mean that the frequency goes away. Yes, you can talk if on 145.29 if the repeater is down. All right, but it's simplex. Now, if the repeater's down, everyone you listen to on it will be kind of weak, except for those people you know who live in your neighborhood. So, anyway, so it's not necessarily a fault of the operator, of the net control operator who is volunteering their time to do the net. I believe that the problem here was the practicing of the simplex frequencies. The person read the letter and figured that that was a simplex frequency. Or they just, you know, they only use the radio when they pull it out once a month to, you know, do simplex practice. Okay, so the thing is, your radio, you got to be pretty specific when you want other people to help. And it's a good idea when you start out being a net control, before you even start, to try to get a signal report and figure out, you know, if you've never done it before, who's out there, who's hearing you, okay? You change your antenna for any reason. Gosh, you know, I keyed up the radio and, yeah, give my little preamble and look down and go, oh, I don't have an antenna on that. That's not going to work very well. Anyway, but I know that when I put the antenna on there, I've done this before, what to expect, right? If you don't know what to expect, yes, you can try talking on the output of the repeater. You will get this really weird result. And people will try to tell you, hey, you're talking on the, you know, you're talking simplex. All right? Now, what's the other thing that could happen to somebody? This also happened, who actually doesn't know how to use the repeater. What if you start listening to that person and they sound weak, and you sound weak, and they can't understand what's going on with their radio? What's another thing, the button you could push on your radio which would mess you up, even if you had the repeater programmed in there correctly?
K1VIN.
Yeah, Kevin, go ahead.
Well, you could put it on reverse and be heard very well, but not hear very well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another one what we had happen this last week with some new radios and testing. It's fine to test your radio. You know, people say, well, it's poor form. Well, on this repeater, I say it's fine for you to test your radio. We're always willing to help out, you know, mentor each other. And we're excited when you get a new antenna. So go ahead and say, I'm testing my new antenna and make sure that it works for you. Okay? But we had a new user in Silverton, and he was using his radio, and for some strange reason, he wasn't hearing, you know, we were hearing him, he wasn't hearing us. And a couple of things like that. If you're on a Bofang kind of radio and you push the scan button, okay, and you hold it down, then it goes through a scan, right? But if you just tap it, it goes to reverse. And so if it's on reverse, so the first thing you want to do if something's screwing up on your radio is you want to look down at the dial or while you're transmitting. You want to make sure, if you think you're using a repeater, that it is doing a repeater shift, okay? In this case, 14529, you know, I push the button, goes to 14469. I should see 14469 when I'm keying up. So that's the quick check you can do for yourself. And you can also double check that your squelch is off. The other thing is that sometimes you accidentally turn the squelch knob all the way up and you can't hear anything at all. So, you know, lots of things, reason why you can't hear, and maybe other people are hearing you, but this is why we test our radios. So, you know, once a month probably isn't adequate enough. Okay, so is there a role for simplex? Yes, there's a role for simplex. But for nets, I'm thinking that you really ought to have a repeater. And this is the way we normally do it with our different county auxiliary groups. You have a primary repeater, and you have a secondary repeater. Everyone knows that the primary repeater for 529 is this one, and the secondary is 145190. And, you know, there's a simplex frequency. Now, what's the simplex frequency good for? Is it, you know, obviously there will be people using the repeaters. If there's some kind of emergency, there will be a lot of people on the repeaters. You need a net control to do that, all right? But, you know, it doesn't mean there won't be a repeater. You need to be able to talk to others and coordinate and change channels, okay? Now, simplex is very limited in what it can do. And if you don't practice simplex, what you'll find out is your HT is pretty worthless for simplex unless you're standing on a hill. Okay, if you're standing on a hill, that might work for you. Okay, but it's not going to work very well. No better than a little walkie-talkie. You know, 5 watts, and you're two people standing up 6 feet. Unfortunately, it's going to go about 5-6 miles at the most if it's a good path. So, you know, and maybe worse on a 70-centimeter frequency. So, if you're going to do simplex, you got to test it out, and you have to make sure everyone can hear each other, and the net control needs to be heard, you know, best of all. And you probably need a backup net control. So a lot of lessons to be learned from one little mistake, but they're just lessons. They're not, you know, get mad at people. Just try not to do that. Fix the error, right? KD7, GDB. Okay, any other comments about, like, if somebody said, hey, you know, next week we're going to have a exercise and we want to use Simplex, and what would you say to them? Something you can say to them. Okay, say, yes, okay, we can do Simplex, but what I'd like everyone to do, if we could we please check in first on the repeater, whatever one you want to use, okay? Make sure everybody's there, and then we'll go try our Simplex. And let's see, who out there can tell me how I could tell whether other people, I could hear them on Simplex? Let's say, you know, we decide we're going to go to, I don't know, the big Shampooey Park, and we're going to have an event out there, you know, and we're going to wander around, and we want to try, the objective is to see if we can do Simplex at Shampooey Park. All right, so we start out with a frequency that everyone can use, you know, and I don't know whether this one works that well there or not, but you start out with a repeater. And then what can you do, going back to Kevin's comment, what would be a quick way to check whether or not you're hearing everybody Simplex? Yeah, Richard, go ahead.
How about giving everyone a number and just give a count, counting in K6SBX?
Yep, a roll call of both types. That's a good suggestion, both from EDF and from STX. Roll call is a good idea, okay? But what I'm asking you to do is tell them we do want to check this, but what we'd like to do is know whether our radios are all working first, and, you know, by checking in first, whether you do the number on the repeater, you're going to, you know, everyone's going to be able to hear the net control. Now, the quick thing I was trying to look for, the quick answer, is that you have everybody just quick listen on reverse. So, you know, there is a reverse button or function key on your radio. Try to figure out where it is. Okay? It's usable, all right? Because, like I'm talking right now, which I do a lot, you should be able to hit the reverse button. And if you're in Salem, nearby, I'm broadcasting on the, you know, mid power with a, you know, two-element beam. So if you're in South Salem, you probably can hear me on Simplex, okay? Now, if you're in somewhere else, up in Tigard, nope, you probably can't hear me. All right? That's fine, okay? So you'd know immediately if you go to reverse whether or not that person was listening to, you could listen to them on Simplex. Now, in such an exercise where you're out, you know, at a park or something, probably everyone should be able to hear the same, okay? But if your radio's not working or you have that, you know, counterfeit antenna that you bought from Amazon or whatever, it may not work as well. So then you can do that roll call. You know, hey, I didn't hear from Richard there. He didn't come in that time. I heard him before. Now I can't hear him. Okay, so you wouldn't know this unless you do need to use repeaters, okay? They just get used to it a little bit. And new radios sometimes, and maybe Kevin can tell us this, I'm pretty sure that when it isn't always the case on 440 where you get the automatic repeater shift. So, you know, we get a little bit spoiled by some radios, like the, you know, the nicer Yaesu handhelds and things like that, where you just put the frequency in by hand and it does an automatic repeater shift and you're good to go, and it remembers which way is up and which way is down, you know, the crossover frequency there, and it all works great. You're on Simplex, it does Simplex. That's great. That's a good feature to have on your radio, but not every radio has that, okay? So you need to make sure that when you're putting, you know, you got to put some things into your memory that, you know, some repeaters decide in advance, hey, these repeaters are going to use, and then you test that. Put the Simplex frequencies in there too, you know, and make sure the Simplex isn't trying to do a repeater shift for you. If you try to pick a different number than normal, than the calling frequency, okay? So just make sure that what you're doing is, you know, keying up properly, and you'll have a lot more success. But, yeah, got to get that information out. Don't just practice Simplex. That's going to throw you off. KG7, GDP. Okay, any final comments here for the net before we close? It's after 8.
KE7OAU.
Yes, Paul, go ahead, please.
We're doing the neighborhood night out, national night out here in northeast Salem, so I was only partially listening. I wanted to let people know that Woodburn CERT will be doing a simulated emergency test at the starting at the Woodburn Fire Department main headquarters building on Sunday morning. We'll be doing the communications part of that and simulating communications from the incident command post at Woodburn out to other locations in Marion County. Anyone who is interested, please monitor the House Mountain Repeater 145.190, and we'll be on the air between 0800 and 1000 hours on Sunday morning coming August 8th, KE7OLU.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I'll just repeat that for people who are listening, again, because he gave a lot of numbers really quickly. So, yeah, there will be an exercise on Sunday morning in Woodburn using the CERT program, and they are going to be using the 145.190. That's the House Mountain Repeater. Also has a WA7ABU call sign. Remember, it uses a tone of 100, okay? Tone in code only. And the hours are 0800 to 1000, so 8 to 10, Sunday morning, August 8th. Listen to that activity and listen to how the CERT people handle that. They might be using some of their own frequencies, too. I'm not privy to the entire plan, but, again, this is a good one because they might decide, for instance, they want to use, FRS, GMRS radio, so they might want to use a simplex channel. They also have ability to do some public service stuff, channels. Those things all might be in test, okay? But, if you're interested in checking in or listening in, we'll use the big repeater because that covers the most area, right? And they might use tactically another, some other frequencies that you might hear on a scanner or something, but probably just use the one that Paul has announced here if he wanted to check in or take part if they're calling for that. Okay, any questions for Paul or any other final comments before I close it up? Okay, great. Well, it's now 9 minutes after the hour. This concludes the 529 Emergency Preparedness Net. There'll be a recording available today's discussion on the WA7ABU groups.io page. This net meets each Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. on 145.29 megahertz. Our thanks go out to Dan, WA7ABU, for the use of the repeater. Thanks to all 14 of you who showed up today. Thanks to those who stood by to give us a clear channel. This is Kilo Golf 7 Golf, Delta Bravo, now closing the net at 8:10 p.m. We now return the repeater to normal, undirected, amateur use. KG7GB.